Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hello, I'm Brian Cox.
I'm Robin Ince. The Infinite Monkey Cage is back and we are starting the series with a whole show about trees with Dame Judi Dench. What else we got, Brian?
We're going to do What a Gas with Mark Miodovnik. Unexpected Science History with Rufus Hound. I don't know what he knows about unexpected science history.
Well, that's unexpected thing. He hasn't got a clue.
No, I'm hoping we're having some experts on there. Exploring with Annika Rice.
No, that's just one of your dreams. The other night I dreamt I was exploring with Annika Rice. And also Alien Life in Glastonbury with Chris Lintott.
Yeah.
Infinite Monkey Cage.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm right outside the hotel now, and the Hatay Sport Ultras are here in there. Well, about 100 of them with flares, there's smoke everywhere, and they're singing some amazing songs.
It's the 26th of May, the final match day of the season in the Super League, Turkish football's top division. And as the players leave their hotel bound for today's crunch showdown, tensions are running high.
And there they go. The coach is off to the Mersin Stadium. There's a bus of ultras in front of them that have the flares. They're just hanging out the windows, giving them a kind of guard of honour on the way to the stadium. And that's where we're going to go.
The team we're here to see play, a club called Hatay Spor, is on the brink of relegation. A dropping down of divisions that many fear will see the side collapse altogether. If Hatay Spor are to survive, they badly need to win today. They need other results to go their way too. The odds are firmly stacked against them, but their loyal fans still believe in miracles.
It's the hope of freedom of a nation.
Benim için de, şehir için de umut ve ayaklanma ve kalkınma olacaktır.
This will be hope, rebirth and development again for both me and the city.
It's like a dream for us, but I trust this team, I love this team and I want my team to continue.
It's incredibly dark and stormy outside the Mersin Stadium. There are thousands, tens of thousands of Hatay Spor fans here as it's thunder and lightning, drums, people celebrating with their babies, there's police with machine guns, and so many people we've spoken to have said that they're here for their first game because they believe that this team is the only beacon of hope left.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. My name is James Montague, and in this episode, I'm in southeast Turkey, the country that I call home, to see how the fortunes of a football team represents the resilience of a people in the face of a natural disaster.
Devastation in Turkey and Syria. Tens of thousands dead. Millions without food or shelter.
Abla, şu an lütfen siz kendinizi düşün.
Mounting anger at the emergency response. And the scale of destruction.
This is a logistic nightmare.
At 4:17 a.m. on February the 6th, 2023, an earthquake measuring 7.8 on the Richter scale struck the part of Turkey I've travelled to with devastating effect. Hatay Spor's home city of Antakya was almost wiped from the map. Over 3,000 buildings collapsed in a matter of minutes, many that had stood for centuries. An estimated 50,000 people were killed. Players from Hatay Spor's squad, some of its coaches, the club's cook and kitman were all among the dead. Thousands of their fans would never emerge from the rubble. Hatay Spor's multi-million dollar stadium had only recently been completed, but is left structurally unsound by the tremors. The club's training complex became a refugee camp, where tents were used to shelter the homeless. Given such chaos, to even get to the last match of the season, where Super League survival is still up for grabs, is nothing short of a miracle. It's been a remarkable journey for Hatayspor, as I found out when I first visited the club a few months back.
Merhaba Hatayspor.
Evet.
Çok teşekkürler.
Nereye gelecek ya şimdi bunlar? Ah.
It was a drab day in early January when my translator Bora and I flew south from our hometown of Istanbul to the city of Adana. Here we picked up a music-loving taxi to take us the final leg to Mersin, a resort town 90 minutes to the west.
We've finally got to Mersin, and I guess we're on the Mediterranean, and this is a bit of a party town during the kind of on-season, but we're very much in the off-season. It's absolutely belting down. It's wet, it's cold, and we've still got another 45 minutes to go before we go to the training camp of Hatayspor, which is their new temporary home, where we're going to be meeting Volkan, the coach. Probably, I would say, one of the most famous men in Turkey.
I am Volkan Demirel, technical director of Hatayspor, technical director.
This is Volkan Demirel. When I met him in January, he was Hatayspor's manager, technical director, board member, and friend and brother of the team, as he liked to call himself. The 42-year-old still has the model good looks that made him a poster boy of Turkish football back in his playing days. As a tall goalkeeper, he captained one of the country's most famous sides, Fenerbahce, and played for the national side over 60 times. But it was as the manager of a rival Super League team that first brought him to Hatayspor.
We lost 3-0, and then we were actually snowed in Hatay, and we had to stay here for 3 days. I had the opportunity to actually get to know people really well, and those 3 days made me incredibly happy, and I told myself that my next team will be Hatayspor.
That's the voice of Bora, my translator. You'll be hearing a lot more of him through the programme. Volkan got his wish and took over as manager of Hatayspor in September of 2022. He loved the club's cosmopolitan city, with Antakya's ancient buildings and friendly people. He improved results too, introducing new players to rejuvenate the side. Players like Christian Atsu, a former Chelsea and Newcastle United midfielder from Ghana. It was Christian who scored an amazing last-minute winner in his debut for Volkan's side in a league match played on February the 5th, 2023.
After this was a last-minute goal, after the game, I was so happy for him that I went there and left him in the air and told the news reporters that this was an incredibly important victory, especially for Atsu. And he says, you should watch that interview, he says, because it is as if I am speaking about Atsu's final game. And it turns out it was Atsu's final ball and final day.
As Volkan said, Christian had been due to fly out that evening, but decided to skip the plane to celebrate with his teammates instead. They played cards until 3 a.m. And then Christian went home to Renaissance Residence, a 12-storey luxury apartment block where he and others from the club lived. Within the hour, this century's most powerful earthquake struck the city. Volkan was staying in a hotel with his family.
It just went on for too long, and when it finished, I grabbed two of my daughters. We immediately rushed outside. I got in the car and wanted to go to the facilities, which was normally a 3 minutes drive away. But that day, it was such chaos, and it took me 45 minutes to reach the facility. Once I reached the facilities, I immediately started calling people and staff to have them and their families come to the facilities. We reached most of them, but a lot of our family members we sadly lost.
Volkan was so distraught at the devastation and the number of unaccounted staff and players that he turned to social media for help.
Yardım. Ne kadar imkan varsa hepsini göndermenizi istiyorum, lütfen. Çevreliler de aynı şekilde, sadece Antakya...
Please, I'm asking you, he said.
Please, please, for the love of God. People are dying here. For the love of God. The post went viral and was seen by millions, helping to raise awareness of the unfolding crisis in Antakya. And there was very good reason for Volkan's panic.
It collapsed in 15 seconds. We were in ninth floor. I think 1,000 people died there, directly died, because it was like a bomb.
Osman Ateş is Hatayspor's chief physiotherapist. Another staff member of the club who lived with his wife and baby daughter in the same building as the celebrating goal scorer Christian Atsu.
When I feel earthquake, I hugged my baby. She was only 1 year old. I hugged her and we collapsed. And when I opened my eyes, I was in standing position. I couldn't see my wife. I heard her voice. I couldn't move and my baby was crying.
3 hours later, a second earthquake shifted the masonry entombing him. It broke bones in his back and arm, but it also loosened some of the wreckage.
So I told myself, Osman, you are a strong man. I should punch the walls. After 4 hours, I broke one wall. Then I climbed to find my wife.
Osman heard people screaming as the fire began to rip through the rubble. His daughter's worsening hypothermia and his wife's collapsed lung spurred him on through the pain. He somehow struggled for 14 hours to drag his family to safety on a torn curtain. Once free, it was Volkan who found the ambulance that rushed them to hospital. All three of them survived.
Der Disney Plus Serientipp.
Hey, hier spricht Meredith Grey, direkt aus dem Grey Sloan Memorial Hospital. Wir suchen Verstärkung, denn hier kommen viele neue Fälle rein. Unsere Station ist voll mit außergewöhnlichen Patienten, jungen Ärzten in Ausbildung und viel zwischenmenschlichem Drama. Also schau schnell vorbei.
Grey's Anatomy, die neuen Folgen und alle Staffeln nur auf Disney Plus streamen. Abo schon ab 5,99 € pro Monat. Und nun viel Spaß beim Podcast, wünscht Disney Plus.
Hello, I'm Brian Cox.
I'm Robin Ince. The Infinite Monkey Cage is back and we are starting the series with a whole show about trees with Dame Judi Dench. What else we got, Brian?
We're going to do What a Gas with Mark Miodovnik. Unexpected Science History with Rufus Hound. I don't know what he knows about Unexpected Science History.
Well, that's unexpected thing. He hasn't got a clue.
No, I'm hoping we're having some experts on there. Exploring with Annika Rice.
No, that's just one of your dreams. The other night I dreamt I was exploring with Annika Rice. And also Alien Life in Glastonbury with Chris Lintott.
Yeah.
Infinite Monkey Cage.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hatayspor's temporary training ground is very far from the money and prestige of the big Istanbul clubs. It's a public pitch owned by the local council.
It's real grass, but is uneven. Flooded in patches and has massive holes in it as if artillery's landed on it. I mean, it's not optimal training facilities, really.
But those here today, like Osman and Volkan, are the lucky ones. Hatayspor's translator, Emre Aslan, is in grateful mood too.
I mean, I've just been on the pitch and it's flooded and there's a big hole in it. Like there's been an explosion.
I'll show you.
Is it? I mean, is it not
I'll
a bit dangerous?
I'll show you our locker room.
Okay, so we're entering the locker room.
This is our locker room.
Merhaba.
Do you see the players? The players actually, they are using these bathrooms.
The shower.
Yes.
Two showers.
These bathrooms. It's not actually. There's no hot water.
There's no hot water.
Yes.
In there. And these toilets don't work.
Yes.
They're squat toilets.
Our facilities was great when we were in Hatay,
yeah.
But after the earthquake, unfortunately, we do not have our own facility.
Yeah. And this is for a Super League team.
Yeah, imagine that. We are trying to show for the people of Hatay that they can also do this for their own little lives, you know.
Emre was at home with his mother and sisters when the earthquake hit. When their building collapsed, they also managed to escape.
after that, we didn't have shoes, we didn't have clothes, because we were sleeping. You know, we went out and it was raining and it was such a cold night. It was dark. You see nothing. It is like a cave, you know. You see nothing. There is no electricity. All people, they are outside. They were running from right to left and we saw dead bodies on the street.
After checking on his family, Emre eventually found his way to Hatayspor's training ground.
And it was emotional moments. And I asked help to them, to help my family, actually. And coach, he also put a post on Instagram. And people from all over the Turkey, they saw this post. And thanks to him, they could hear our voices.
Within days of the catastrophe, Volkan and the other Hatayspor staff agreed it was vital to keep the team going, to inspire a city desperately in need of hope, to allow fans to forget the trauma of their reality, even if it was just for 90 minutes. So they rebuilt the threadbare squad with loan signings from abroad. Soccer fans from across Turkey bought Hatayspor season tickets in support. Fundraising friendlies were arranged with Italian champions Napoli and Turkish-owned Hull City of England. Both Fenerbahce and the Turkish Football Federation allowed the club to use their training facilities for free. Remarkably, by August, Hatayspor were not only back on the pitch, but they were winning too.
My name is Kerem Alıcı. I am right back.
26-year-old defender Kerem was one of the players committed to the Hatayspor cause. He crawled out of the Renaissance residence building collapse thanks to a wardrobe that fell on top of him and kept him alive.
When did you realise that you could play football again?
Ben yaklaşık bir ay, yani depremden sonra bir ay hiçbir şey yapmadım.
I did nothing after the earthquake. And during that 1 month where I did nothing, I realized that football actually was my therapy. My medicine, my therapy, literally, because I realized that when I got on the pitch, I forgot about everything else, and that positive energy helped me move through that. So I wanted to go back immediately as soon as possible.
It's quite a heavy weight, isn't it? This football club means much more than perhaps a football club would normally mean.
Ya biz açıkçası ben buradan ayrılmayı o depremden sonra hiç düşünmedim.
The moment our coach told us that, okay, we are continuing with this project this coming season, I said, okay, I will stay here and I will be a part of this team because, aside from anything, simply put, we have a story that we haven't finished yet and we would like to finish it. It's not winning. It's not necessarily winning games, winning cups, winning tournaments, but we need to and we want to do our best to make people of Hatay smile again.
I'd heard so many harrowing stories about the devastation in Antakya from those involved with Hatayspor Football Club. With the first anniversary of the disaster just days away, I wanted to see if the city had started to revive. Driving 3 hours south gave me my answer.
The city is gone. I mean, either side is just piles and piles of rubble from collapsed buildings. Any buildings that have remained standing are condemned and they're empty, they're half destroyed. And there's just a sea of yellow JCB diggers just pulling at them and pulling down. We've just gone through the main centre where the PTT, the post office, is destroyed. The Belediye, the municipal building, has been destroyed. There's just thousands and thousands of old shipping containers where people are now living. I mean, that is pretty bleak.
A year on from the earthquake, tens of thousands of people are still living in makeshift towns constructed from converted shipping containers around Antakya. And many of these people are fans of the team. We're here to see one fan in particular.
We're going to go and see pretty much Hatayspor's biggest fan. Songul is the amigo, essentially the fan leader of Hatayspor and the only female fan leader in Turkey, which is very rare across the world to find someone in ultra groups or support groups being led by a woman. So She's living in a container now, and we're going to go visit.
Merhaba, Songul.
Merhaba.
James.
Songul Taşdelen was waiting to meet us as we arrived. Songul's container home is neat and tidy, with two rooms and a large TV hanging on one wall. Just one of hundreds of identical blue-coloured metal boxes all around here. Some shipping containers have been converted into banks, shops and cafes. Songul's has been converted into a shrine for her team.
Super. There's Hatayspor flag,
evet.
Hatayspor tattoo,
evet.
And Hatayspor bedspread.
You have, evet. Hatayspor.
This is all Hatayspor.
Songul first fell in love with Hatayspor in the 1990s. She met her husband at a game, divorcing him shortly afterwards when he tried to stop her going to the matches. Since then, she's founded two so-called ultra supporter groups, a community of ardent supporters that attend every game, home and away. Songul leads singing from the terrace, arranges tickets, transportation and food for 30 to 40 of her group.
I mean, I die, as everyone will die. The only thing I want is actually my coffin to be toured around the stadium as a goodbye, so I take Hatayspor with me to the other side.
51-year-old Songul was buried in the rubble for 2 days after the earthquake. She dug herself out of her collapsed six-story building, covered in blood, with a pickaxe her father managed to pass through the fallen masonry. The city she emerged back into was alien, which is why her football team took on an even greater importance. A link from the past to the present. Songul hasn't been back to Hatayspor Stadium since the quake. But today, she wants us to drive there to see it. She'd missed it, like an old friend.
Should we go to
Gate 20?
Senin
kapına
gitmek ister misin yoksa istemez misin?
Yok, istemem.
Ah, no, she doesn't.
Want
you don't
want
to go to Gate
20?
Oraya istemem.
Ben o kapıdan hep geçiyordum. That's not somewhere I want to go to.
Bana acı verir.
She says no, it's too sad.
Acıdan başka bir şey yok.
Okay, well, we've arrived at the Hatayspor Stadium, very modern, but it's not safe to go inside anymore. In the past year, you can see bits of the roof have fallen off on the side, so it's completely unsafe. And Songul wanted to come. It's the first time she's been here since she saw Christian Atsu score that goal, but she doesn't want to go to her gate, Gate 20, where she always sat. It's too emotional. I think we should go.
But even in times of extreme crisis, football remains an unsympathetic, results-driven business. And in the months that followed, results did not go well for Hatayspor. The team plummeted towards the relegation zone, and in early May, Volkan resigned. Local elections saw regime change. The outgoing opposition mayor, who was also the club's president, being replaced by a candidate from the AKP, the governing party of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. In the power vacuum, wages had not been paid for months. Unbelievably, Hatayspor rose again. New manager Ozan Pulat delivered a three-game unbeaten run, which left a glimmer of hope for the last game of the season. A win just might be enough to survive. And Hatayspor's fans had gathered en masse at the Mersin Stadium to cheer on their side.
We just had the Turkish national anthem. There's a lot more fans here than there were when we were here in January. The rain stopped, the sun's out, the governor's here, the mayor's here. 90 minutes from now, we'll know whether this team can do it, perform the great escape.
A loud roar welcomed the region's governor as he arrived next to us, flanked by armed guards. AKP politicians rarely give interviews to foreign media, so this was our one chance to ask whether he could guarantee Hatayspor's future, whatever the result.
Hatayspor bugün burada kümede kalacak. Benim en ufak bir endişem yok. İnşallah.
Hatayspor will stay up. I can assure you that as we supported Hatayspor yesterday and as we are supporting Hatayspor today, we will always be behind Hatayspor, giving our full support.
With political support seemingly assured, it was time for Hatayspor to shape their destiny on the pitch.
Incredible! Hatayspor have just gone up and have scored in their first shot of the game. 1-0 after 3 minutes.
And things only got better in the second half, as results in the other game went Hatayspor's way. If things stayed as they were, a win would keep them in the Super League.
Amazing! Hatayspor just scored. It's 2-0. All the staff are on the pitch, on their knees.
And then, the final whistle.
A beautiful moment. Hatayspor have somehow done it. They won 2-0. All the staff are on the pitch, players on their knees, their flares being lit in the crowd, everybody's dancing, they're singing, people are crying.
Hatayspor fans began flooding the pitch in celebration with the players. 1,000 or so people dancing, crying, on their knees and riding high. I followed them onto the grass, where I bumped into Emre, the club's translator.
James!
Emre.
Thank you so much, my friend. You supported us too much.
You always win when we're here.
Yes, and nightmare is over.
It is. So how does it feel now? You're shaking.
Yes, I'm shaking because I know what we have been through all this time, you know?
Emre! Good for you, man. I know that you can never forget what happened a year ago back in that earthquake, but does this help to put it in the past in some ways?
You can never forget anything, you know? And I actually cannot find the words to talk about, you know? There are lots of things happening, like it's a volcanic eruption, you know, inside of me. So I cannot tell more than this. So I want to go inside now to share with my friends, you know.
We're going to go.
They're waiting.
Go. Yeah, we will enjoy. See you. Celebrate.
Hatayspor Football Club lives to see another day and proved it's possible to rise again, even from the ashes of disaster. The people of Antakya will be hoping their city can do the same. You've been listening to the documentary with me, James Montague. My executive producer was Ben Wyatt, and the programme was a communique production for the BBC World Service.
Hello, I'm Brian Cox.
I'm Robin Ince. The Infinite Monkey Cage is back and we are starting the series with a whole show about trees with Dame Judi Dench. What else we got, Brian?
We're going to do What a Gas with Mark Miodovnik. Unexpected Science History with Rufus Hound. I don't know what he knows about unexpected science history.
Well, that's the unexpected thing. He hasn't got a clue.
No, I'm hoping we're having some experts on there. Exploring with Annika Rice.
No, that's just one of your dreams. The other night I dreamt I was exploring with Annika Rice. And also, Alien Life in Glastonbury with Chris Lintott.
Yeah.
Infinite Monkey Cage.
Listen, wherever you get your podcasts.